The Holy Gospel according to Mark, the first chapter. Glory to you, O Lord. The beginning of the good news of Jesus Christ. As it is written in the prophet Isaiah, "See, I am sending my messenger ahead of you, who will prepare your way. The voice of one crying out in the wilderness, 'Prepare the way of the Lord, make straight the paths of the Lord.'" So John the Baptizer appeared in the wilderness, proclaiming a baptism of repentance for the forgiveness of sins. And the whole Judean region and all the people of Jerusalem were going out to him and were baptized by him in the River Jordan, confessing their sins. Now, John was clothed with camel's hair, with a leather belt around his waist, and he ate locusts and wild honey. He proclaimed, "The one who is more powerful than I is coming after me, the strap of whose sandals I am not worthy to stoop down and untie. I have baptized you with water, but the one who is coming will baptize you with the Holy Spirit." The Gospel of the Lord. Praise to you, O Christ. Please be seated. "Comfort, O comfort my people," says your God. The confusing thing about Advent is that while we're mostly busy making our homes warm and comfortable, cooking traditional comfort foods and singing familiar songs, the message that we hear in Scripture for this church season has nothing to do with comfort at all. In fact, this is a time of discomfort. Advent is often called a little Lent, and therefore a time for reflection and confession and preparation. The discomfort comes from acknowledging together that although God has already come among us as Emmanuel, God with us, the kingdom of God on earth has not been realized in full. The birth of Jesus in Bethlehem 2,023 years ago means peace has already been born between God and God's people. But we don't have to look far to recognize how peace has yet to be born among the people of today in Israel and Palestine, or in the halls of power in our country, or even right here on Harvard's campus. Christ is born, Christ is risen, Christ will come again, and at the same time, it is still Advent. We are waiting. We await Christ's birth. In other words, we are still in the wilderness. There's still work to do. Hear again those words from Isaiah 40. "A voice cries out, 'In the wilderness, prepare the way of the Lord. Make straight in the desert a highway for our God. Every valley shall be lifted up, every mountain and hill be made low. The uneven ground shall become level, and the rough places a plain.'" Some biblical commentaries tell us that this entire dialogue at the beginning of Isaiah 40 is a conversation taking place in heaven, in the heavens. That this is a script meant for God and the heavenly choir of angels, and we are just overhearing the divine voices at the center of creation, discussing the preparations necessary for the coming of the Lord. And while I think that is an appropriate interpretation of these passages, I'm having a hard time leaving this text in the heavenly realm these days. Because when I read of a voice crying out in the wilderness, "Prepare the way of the Lord," and then I look around, I see that we are in a wilderness right now. We are living in a wilderness of war and division and disruption. And so I wonder if we might just be included in this heavenly conversation between God and the angels. Could it be that God is speaking to us through these words, we who are in the wilderness of today? Could it be, in fact, that we are the heavenly choir itself, God's messengers, who are being called to not only comfort ourselves and others, but to do the work of preparing the way of the Lord? And what is that work? God knows there are valleys that need lifting, and mountains that need lowering, uneven ground that needs leveling, and rough patches that need smoothing. We need a permanent solution to the mountain that the housing crisis in our city has become. Children all over this country need an even path to walk, to education, to healthcare, to opportunity. We all need to climb out of the valley of death that is the ever-increasing gun violence that we are experiencing in our country. And of course, this season, as we await the birth of Jesus of Nazareth, born in Bethlehem, we must not look away from the reality of what is happening in Jesus' homeland. Israelis need to live without fear of being attacked again. Palestinians need to live without fear of being bombed. It might even be enough to say Palestinians need to live. And everyone in the Holy Land needs a clear path to a different future. They and we need a way out of this wilderness. I think that at this moment, in this repentance season, reflective season, we must notice that while so many of our fellow humans are just looking for safe passage through the wilderness of life, others of us have been traveling well-lit, smoothly paved four-lane highways. As we heard in today's gospel lesson, when John the Baptizer came announcing the coming of the Lord, he preached a message of repentance and confession of these very sins. People from the whole Judean countryside and all the people of Jerusalem were going out to him, were baptized by him in the River Jordan, confessing their sins. And that doesn't sound very Christmassy, does it? There isn't a confession window on my Advent calendar. And I don't have a repentance ornament on my Christmas tree, even though maybe I should. This is uncomfortable. But this discomfort is what the powerful and the privileged are being called to during the Advent season. We have heard this voice clearly, this voice in the wilderness crying out, prepare the way, make the Lord's path straight. We've heard those voices in the voices of our neighbors when they have said, I can't breathe, or me too, or free Palestine, or never again. We have seen our neighbors on the streets and standing at the door of our shelter, and we are all so very, very tired of thoughts and prayers and thoughts and prayers and thoughts and prayers. So this is a time to reflect and to repent and to receive gifts, the gift of forgiveness for our sins. And it's a time to get to work, because Jesus, the one we've been waiting for, is on the way, is always on the way in our lives. Now, I'd like you to allow me a moment for a nerdy language lesson. There may be a reason that my son is pursuing a PhD in linguistics. Runs in the family a little bit. In Arabic, the most common greeting you will hear anywhere is ahlan wa sahlan, which means welcome. But if you literally translate it, ahlan wa sahlan means something like with family, ahlan, and easy walking, sahlan. In other words, when someone greets you with ahlan wa sahlan, they're saying, you are family, and this level ground I enjoy is also for you. You are family, and this level ground is for you too. Ahlan wa sahlan. Can you say it with me? Ahlan wa sahlan. And what's beautiful is that the response often is ahlain, which means two families. Can you say ahlain? So you are family, and my level ground is for you, and the response is two families. We are two families. How beautiful is that, right? Oh, that greeting would drown out the violence in Israel and Palestine. Oh, that sort of greeting would drown out the pain and sorrow in Russia and Ukraine and in the halls of Congress and everywhere where we are divided, where things are uneven. Oh, that this would comfort God's people. Oh, that this would discomfort God's people. Dear ones, the Christian witness is that the birth of Jesus, the one we call Emmanuel, God with us, made us all part of God's family. When God became flesh and dwelt among us, the mountains were made low, the valleys were raised, creating a straight and level pathway between God and God's people. You are now family, and this level ground is for you too, said God. In Christ, God has said, Ahlan wa sahlan, to the whole world. This is our Advent hope and our Christmas joy. And this is what our neighbors, whether on the other side of this city or the other side of the ocean, desperately need to hear from us today. They need to know that they are family, we are family, and that whatever level ground we have, we want to make available to them. They need to hear, my privilege, my power, my fertile soil, my ease of access are yours too. I will not leave you in the wilderness, and neither will God. Prepare the royal highway now. The King of Kings is near. Love is on its way. In every place where the cry for justice, peace, and reconciliation is met with the good news that God's kingdom is for all, through Christ crucified and risen, there we see the glory of God revealed. Come, Lord Jesus. Ahlan wa sahlan. Welcome. Let us pray. O God, whose will is justice for the poor and peace for the afflicted, let your herald's urgent voice pierce our hardened hearts and announce the dawn of your kingdom. Before the advent of the one who baptizes with the fire of the Holy Spirit, let our complacency give way to conversion, oppression to justice, and conflict to acceptance of one another in Christ. We ask this through the one whose coming is certain, whose day draws near, Jesus Christ the Beloved, who lives and reigns with you and the Holy Spirit, one God, forever and ever. Amen.